Amen, amen. You may be seated. So glad you're here today. You probably noticed Truett was not up here this morning doing the senior recognition. That's because he and Chloe are at home because they have had another baby in their family. So we're excited to welcome Graham Russell into the family and convinced God has purpose for him. So we'll see them back here in a week or so. I'm looking forward to that. Well, I want to welcome you today to the resistance, to the kingdom that is not of this world, to the assembly of those who have been redeemed, to those who have received grace by faith, to Jesus, the head of the church, the Lord of all, the one to whom every knee will bow one day. I welcome you to the minority in the land today, to the smaller in number, but the mighty in spirit people of God. Amen. Psalm 12 says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men." It is true in our culture today, but it is true specifically of men. For the godly man is diminishing upon the earth today. The number of them may be diminishing, but the heart in the ones who seek the Lord is increasing with fire and purpose. Amen? And men, you are under attack today. You are targeted. You have been pinpointed. You are public enemy number one. The culture has determined that you are the most toxic person on the planet. A man who is willing to stand in his strength, to be a protector, to be masculine, to stand confident, to work hard, to fight for liberty, to live out your faith, to lead your family, to be an ambassador for Christ, to be independent, to embrace power, and like having a gun. You are toxic today. If any of those are you, the culture says. They have deemed you the threat, that you are the problem. Amen? We'll take it. And the reason the culture hates you is because you are what stands in the way of the enemy having his full sway in your marriage, in your family, in a church, and in this nation. Today, the enemy already owns the government, the entertainment industry, education, the media, and the culture as a whole. And now he is after the last stronghold, your home. And when the home is lost, everything is lost. Amen. This is why real family matters. This is why it is imperative that the godly man hear the voice of God and rise up and be strong in this day. Amen. Our message today to the men in the house. Now, ladies, this is not a moment to just check out, work on your grocery list, or your favorite social media platform. Because, ladies, you're going to want to be listening to this so that you can pray for that man. So that you can encourage that man. And there's going to be some moments today where you're going to feel the tinge in your shoulder and your elbow to want to do some of this stuff right here, right? This doesn't work near as much as this. And even this sometimes is better left for the Holy Spirit to do. Amen? Now, I will also say, ladies, your words have more power than you could ever imagine for your man's heart. You cannot imagine what a word of encouragement and praise does for your man. And God has created us in his image, men and women, to reflect his purposes.
doesn't say that about any other part of creation. But we bear his image. And he has created us differently. Men, you have been created with a very different physical stature, strength, and heart than a woman. Men are not greater than women, and the woman is not greater than the man. Men, you and I have been built to withstand trouble, pain, to be adventurous, industrious, creative, powerful, initiators, forceful, and warriors. Jesus was a man, and he had many masculine titles. The Son of Man, the Son of God, the Man of Sorrows, the only begotten Son, the Bridegroom, the High Priest, the Beloved Son. And just as he bore the image of a man, you and I are called to be men who bow our knee to Jesus, seek him with all of our heart, and become soldiers in his army and fight for his cause. You have been made to be a protector. You have been made to stand in courage, in strength, to protect the women, the children, and those who cannot fight for themselves. You are not toxic because you believe these things. In fact, these are proof that you are alive. You are spiritually alive. You are free. And you are what stands between order and chaos, between stability and slavery. And the enemy is after you. He has labeled you, targeted you, and fixed on destroying you. The New Testament tells us why, and Jesus tells us why. In Mark 3:27, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Here Jesus unfolds brilliant military strategy. If you want what's in the house, then bind the one who's responsible for the house. Bind him, and you can have anything in the house. Men, the enemy is after everything in your house. And I'm not talking about your possessions, your TV, your gold, your money, or even your guns. He's after much more valuable possessions than that. He's after your heart. He's after your wife and her heart. He's after your children. He's after your family. And he's after the generations to come from you. He's after your influence, and he will do everything in his power to see that you have no more strength to bind you up. Because before he can have them, he has to have you. And for this reason, it is imperative that you be strong. This is our verse for the day. And from it, five powerful truths for the men in the house. Number one, men are created by God to be strong. No one can enter the strong man's house. You are to be strong. Men, you are physically designed stronger than women. And I get it. There are probably some women that can take me down in arm wrestling. I get it. But overall, men, you are designed to be physically strong, powerful, to have energy and strength that lasts, to be able to endure. You are also designed physiologically different. You think different than your wife, than your daughters, than the women in your family. And every man said, amen. It's true. You and I, men, have been made to endure stress, to be hardened like a good soldier. 2 Timothy says, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're made that way. You aren't made to cater, to cave, to fall apart. You're made to bear up, to be strong, to be bold, to be courageous. You're designed that way by God. It's in your physical DNA. It's in your physiological DNA. You came into the world that way. If you've ever been around boys and girls when they're playing, you notice this. Boys play differently than girls. Boys make truck sounds. They do that, and they do it almost instinctively. They crash things into other things. They throw things. They fight. And you don't have to show them any MMA to teach them how to do that. They just do it. They build up things and they tear down things. They grunt when they're doing stuff. When they're 6 months old, they grunt. It's not because they're tired or their muscles hurt. It's just something in them that just says, urgh. Right? They pick up things and turn them into weapons. A stick becomes a gun. A stick becomes a sword. It's what guys do. And they're out to conquer. They want to beat something. They want to win the battle. They want to conquer a land. It's not because they watched toxic role models. It's in the package of being a man. Amen? And we should encourage that. There's a place where you ought to encourage that in your boys, so that they become strong men. And that means they got to go through some of that. They got to work some of that stuff out. They got to figure it out. They got to get a bruise. They got to get a black eye. They got to go through some hardships. They got to get a scrape on their knee. It's all important. And the culture's doing everything it can to keep boys from becoming men. Because if they become men and they become strong, and they become seekers of Jesus, then there's another piece of resistance. You can't conquer a strong man's house. The culture today is forced, or is forcing, effeminate, cross-dressing, transgender examples in front of young boys today. All in an attempt to emasculate them, confuse them, keep them from becoming godly men. They're labeling them. They're medicating them. They're seducing them. All so that they can bind up the strong man before he ever becomes a man. That's why it's imperative that we, as Jesus-following parents, do the work of teaching our children what real masculinity is. And it's important for mom and dad to be involved in that process. Dads, I'm gonna tell you, that's not your wife's role. It's your role. It's a mom's role to encourage it. It's a dad's role to model it. Moms have an important role in a boy's life, especially in those early years, to nurture, to comfort, to help them know they're loved and accepted and have a place to come to. But dads, your role is to make sure that your son takes some risks. And I know you're gonna encourage them to take some risks, to encourage them to be strong, to protect, to be chivalrous, to be adventurous, to build some things, to break some things, to go ahead and try it, to go ahead and do that thing that's risky and dangerous, and mom is gonna say, oh, no, 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 no. Right, moms? And moms, that's your moment to step back and let dad do his thing. Because you've got to let that boy become a man. And the way he gets there is by going through struggle, trial, falling down, getting back up. They have to go through that. But if a man, if a boy, never learns to take the risk, to push ahead, to keep going, to get back up, to be strong, if a boy never learns that, if he's always coddled, protected, comforted, if he doesn't ever have a man present in his life to teach him those things, then what happens is that boy grows up in a man's body and still is a boy. I'm afraid that's what we have today, is a generation of physical men still acting as boys. They don't have courage. They don't have heart. They don't have tenacity. They don't have strength. They don't have adventure. They've got fear. They've got anxiety. They've got, I need my blanket. They want their comfort spot. They don't want to be offended by anyone. It's because there has been an absence of men in the home. An absence of Jesus following men in the home. Men have been designed to be strong physically, physiologically, but men, you have also been designed to be strong spiritually. You have a faith just like your wife, your daughter, your mother does. But faith, when it falls into a man's heart, looks different. It falls different than it does into a woman's heart. When it falls into a man's heart, it should drive him to believe what everybody else calls impossible. When faith hits a man's heart, it inspires him in that to give himself away, truly, to sacrifice everything for Christ, to be a soldier, to be more than a conqueror, to do what everybody else says is impossible, to fight the good fight, to put on the armor, to pull down strongholds. This is what it looks like when it falls into a man's heart. Yet because of a generation where there's been an absence of spiritually active men in the home, what we have is a generation of men who don't even know what it looks like to be that kind of man of faith. Instead, what you find often in churches is men who are silent. They're not speaking out, singing out, or living out because they didn't have a role model that showed them that. They haven't seen it. What they saw was a dad who went to work, came home, sat in a recliner, and flipped the controls on the TV. And they're just replicating what they saw. But men, it's time for something different to happen. It's time to own who we are as men spiritually, to accept faith into our hearts and believe God for the impossible, to strike out on the adventure, to give our all to Jesus, to build his church, to make disciples, to go into all the world. Amen? That is what men have been designed to do, to be. You are made to be strong. And sadly, men have picked up some wrong images of what a spiritual man looks like. That for some reason he's soft, passionless, a spectator. Men, you've been made to be strong. Our second point this morning is this. Men, you've been made strong to protect the house. You haven't been made strong just to show off your strength. That's what a fleshly man likes to do. I'm strong. Look how strong I am. But men, you've been made strong not to show off your power, not just so you can get your way, but you've been made strong to be a protector in your house. Amen. To protect your house physically, yes, but to protect your house spiritually. Because if there's a strong man present, then the enemy cannot enter into the house. I was just thinking this week, you know, what it would be like if, let's say, you were in your house with your family and someone broke into your house and they had a weapon and they had threats and they had intent to take what was in your house. Now, can you imagine if you just sat there in your recliner with a remote and you were so fixated on your own pleasures and desires and interests that you completely ignored the threat that was in your living room? Can you imagine what that would do to your family? Can you imagine what that would do to your wife, to your kids? In that moment, they would all of a sudden be filled with terror, with shock, with anxiety, with fear, with unnecessary pressure upon them that they should never have to bear because you wouldn't deal with the threat that just came into your house. Now, we can understand that physically. Your response should be jump up out of that chair, grab the nearest weapon that you've got, and take care of the threat. And say, not in my house. But many men have done that exact same thing when it comes to spiritual matters. They have abdicated their role as a spiritual leader and left it to the wife. And they have sat in their spiritual recliner and they have allowed the enemy to come right up into their house. And because of that, because they've not taken the lead, they've not been the strong man, they've not said, not in my house, they have actually caused their wife and their children to deal with unnecessary fears, anxiety, and stress. Because the man has not been the strong man. They're walking in unnecessary anxiety. They can't sleep. They can't rest. When's another threat going to come in? Men, you have been made strong to protect the house, to protect your family, to make sure that your wife, your children, your grandchildren, and those in your family never have to face fears they were never meant to face. Man, I think about just our generation today, the rampant anxiety that is just pouring over this land. And I just wonder how much of it could be prevented if the men were to stand up as good soldiers of Jesus Christ and protect their home with truth and grace. Amen? To have a man in the home who says, this is what it looks like to follow Jesus. And I'm praying and I'm pulling down strongholds and I am the door and no one will touch my family because I am a soldier of Christ. Instead, today, the enemy has lured men away with lesser goals to make it all about work, to make it all about possessions, to make it all about pleasure. He's convinced them they have no role spiritually. He's seduced them into lust and pleasure and greed. He's convinced them that laziness is the better option. And he's blinded and bound a whole generation of men to be physically present and spiritually absent. And he's having his way. Our third point this morning, the enemy is lying to you so that he can bind you. This is the enemy's goal. And know this, he will not walk up to you and say, hey, I'm the enemy. Would you put these handcuffs on? I really want to plunder your house. Oh, he's far more crafty than that. And he has a very specific set of lies that he feeds to men to keep you distracted, disillusioned, depressed, and bound. I want to walk through some of those. Ladies, this is that moment to be keenly aware of the Holy Spirit speaking to you and keep that elbow in tight. Hello? Guys, this is our moment to listen up, because there's a set of lies that the enemy has whispered, and he's shouting to men today. The first lie that he tells men is, men, you are just a sexual monster who can't help but lust. And it's those crazy women's fault for wearing what they do. Look here, men. You may have heard that that is every man's battle. I'm going to tell you one thing. That's not every man's battle. For the conqueror in Jesus Christ, that is an accomplished and done victory for you and me. Amen? Do not believe the lie that you will always be a defeated man when it comes to sexual temptation. Do not believe the lie that says it is your wife's responsibility to keep you sexually pure. Wrong. That's a lie. It is your responsibility, it's my responsibility to keep ourselves at peace with God and in victory over that temptation. That is not your wife's responsibility. Nowhere in Scripture does it say the way you walk to defeat the flesh is to make sure you get enough sex. It's not out there. It's not in there. Don't believe that lie. When you get filled from the Holy Spirit and with the truth of God's word, you will become what the Scripture says is more than a conqueror. Not more of a defeated lust monster. Are we all on the same page this morning? Some other lies that are out there that the enemy is shouting to men. Church is just for weak men who have effeminate feelings. Come on, you must not have been at Vertical very long. There are godly men in this place, masculine men in this place, who know how to be bold in their faith, who know how to be courageous and share their story, who are not afraid to show others what God has done in their heart, in their past defeats, and in their current victories, even in their current needs. That's what real men do. A generation has believed that real men just sit quietly, don't say anything, don't reveal your weaknesses, fake it till you make it. Or to say in a group, unspoken prayer request. You got just about as much as power in that prayer as you just unspoke in it. Another lie is that spiritual discussions are for the women folk only. It's a lie. You ought to hear at the men's Bible studies and men's breakfast studies that we have here at this church. You ought to hear the men pouring out their heart, being honest, talking about struggles and talking about Christ and talking about the Scripture and having deep spiritual discussions. And those same men taking them home and introducing that discussion into their family with their wife and with their children. God is raising up a generation of leaders here in this church, because spiritual discussions are for men. Now, the lie the enemy shouts is, oh, well, your primary contribution is to just go to work and provide. Wrong. That's an important one. It's not your primary one. Your primary one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor, your wife, your kids as yourself. Amen. We're just going to get all up in it this morning. Men have been told you know, your opinion is more important than a woman's. Wrong. God has created men and women, and yes, she thinks differently than you, and you should be glad for that. Amen. Amen. She has a purpose, she has a role. Don't ever, ever, ever think that because you are male, your opinion matters more. Your ideas are better. Your ways are greater, or that you have greater value. Those are lies from the enemy. Another lie is that men are not relational and don't show emotion, weakness, or vulnerability. I think it's the man who's bound up who doesn't do any of that. It's the man who's so caught up in his pride that he can't do any of that. It's the man who's so bound up by the enemy with insecurity and fear that he can't do that. The real man is the one who's unafraid to show his heart. He's not afraid what anybody thinks. He doesn't care because he knows that Jesus owns his heart. Because he knows he's accepted here, he can do whatever out here. He's not worried about what someone else thinks. Another lie is that faith is for church, but not the home. Lie. The faith that we talk about here is meant to leave here and walk into your home. Our goal here is to equip you to take faith home. Your home is the last stand for this nation. Live it out there in that place. Last lie. That men, you're somehow allowed your vices, pleasures, and free time. After all, you're just a man. That's a lie. Nothing wrong with you having some free time, with having a hobby. But if that matters more to you than being a spiritual leader in your home, you got your priorities out of place. Your place is in the home. And men who have children still at home, that home better be your priority over everything. More than work and more than your hobbies. That son, that daughter, your wife needs you in that house. She needs you present. She needs your mind there. She needs your heart there. That's your priority. And the enemy is lying to men today to try to pull away his focus, his strength, because if he can bind the strong man, then he can have his way. Our fourth point today is when a man is bound, the house suffers. It is unknown the amount of struggle, temptation, pressure, fears, worries, and anxieties that a woman is bearing today because the man is not being a spiritual leader in the home, because he's not leading in prayer, because he's not leading in discussion of faith, because he's not living out his faith. He has given it up. He's become lazy. He's abdicated it. And your wife, that woman in the house, is struggling. Marriages are facing conflict today because of a lack of a strong man in the house. There's been a breakdown in communication. There's lack of intimacy. There's lack of purpose. There's unanswered prayer because the man has not been the spiritual leader in the home. Children are facing temptations, threats, fears, doubts, addictions that they have no ability to conquer because they're children. And it's because there's been an absent dad in the home. He might be physically present, but he has been relationally and spiritually absent. Generational patterns continue when a man is absent spiritually. Destructive habits, anger, lust, greed, laziness, and gluttony are all just passed on down the family lines. Your children pick it up, your grandchildren pick it up, because you weren't willing to stand up and be the man that God called you to be and break the chain. Families are facing conflict, breakdowns, and pain because of the absence of spiritually strong man. Churches across our land are facing unnecessary spiritual attacks, struggles, setbacks, pain, lack of depth, and lack of growth because of a lack of a strong man to stand up over the family. And our nation is facing attack today. Strongholds, evil, corruption, plagues, crime, unnecessary death, because of a lack of a presence of a godly, strong man over the house, and a lack of godly strong men standing up in their house. Now, I would say this even to young women, or women who are still looking for a husband. Make sure you get you a spiritually strong man. Don't fall for him because he's rich, cute, powerful, has a lot of money. You look for that man who loves Jesus more than anything else. And ladies, if you're married to a man who's not that today, then pray for your man and find ways to begin to speak hope and life to that man. Start encouraging him in the Lord. Tell him how you're praying for him. Don't complain. Don't whine. Don't beg. That doesn't work for anybody. Doesn't work for your kids when they come to you that way. But you find ways to speak faith to him, encouragement to him, you will see your man change. Travis is one of those stories, and there's countless others like that in this room. When there's a strong man who can't be bound, then the enemy is powerless to get into your house. So men, it's time to wake up. It's time to shake off the slumber. It's time to put on the armor. It's time to repent of chasing lesser goals. It's time to walk away from pleasure seeking. It's time to be a strong man. Because of this, our last point today, when a man is strong, the house is blessed. Your house will be blessed when you are the strong man, when you are the man who is sold out to Jesus, when you are the man who's willing to bring faith home, when you are the man who will pray, when you are the man who will read the scriptures, when you are the man who will encourage your wife and build up your wife and show grace to your wife and lead your children and be an example in your family. When you're that strong man, then your house will be blessed. You'll have a house of peace. You'll have a house that is secure. You'll have a house that knows the blessing of God. And it's important that your family know that you want to be that man. That you will be that strong man. It's important that you communicate that. That you find a way with your words to say that to her. To say that to your kids. Jesus made sure we all knew it about his house. Jesus himself said, I will build my church, my bride, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We stand in that because we know, yes, he is the protector of the house. Men, there needs to be a way that you communicate that. That you say to your wife and your kids something that sounds like this. I will stand as provider and protector of this house. I will see to it that physically, relationally, emotionally, and most important, spiritually, that no weapon formed against this house will prosper. I will seek to be a strong man in every way in our house. Because of my calling and my love for the people in my house, I will not allow myself to be bound with anything that will keep me from being spiritually alert and strong. I will say no to temptation. I will break strongholds, and by God's strength, I will be the strong man of this house. Amen? Amen. 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 Now, to get to that place requires intentionality on our part, men. You can't just hear this and think that it's going to come to pass. It requires hearing and obeying. It requires hearing and communicating. It requires taking a step. So this morning, we're going to offer that opportunity for you to come to the Lord and say, God, I have not been the strong man in my house, but today I'm committing to you, Lord. I will be that man. Or it might be that you say, I've been the strong man, but there's some areas, God, that I know you're working on, and I want to consecrate myself to you and your purposes. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to pray. The band's going to come. We're going to sing. This altar is open for men, for you to come to say to the Lord, I am here to be the strong man for my house. That's an important step for all of us to take. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray this morning? Father, I thank you that you have designed our homes in such a way that you've called the men to be the strong man of the house, to be the leader, initiator, fighter, courageous one, the one who is passionate to love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. I pray against the enemy who wants to bind, seduce, and make lazy men, to make distracted men who will be involved in all kinds of lesser goals and lesser pleasures. I pray against him and the enemy for what he is doing. And I pray, God, that you would rise up in this room today, men who are willing to be that man, that strong man, to return as leader, faithful, encourager, truth speaker, grace giver in his own home. Fill him, God. I know you'll use him, and I know you'll bless their house. And I know the enemy will be powerless against everything in his house because he has stood up. So, God, we trust you and ask you to move in this moment. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.